Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live right now, on the air and online, and we'd be glad to address your question on this edition, or perhaps offer direction for the difficult, frustrating issues of real life. Call now, 844-32-BASIC. That's the number, 844-32-BASIC, or the full number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The good news is life. Jesus Christ is alive, and he's alive so that he could make us alive. And that's what happens to each and every one of us when we come to Christ by faith. That good news of his death, his burial, his resurrection does something inside of our hearts. We respond in faith, and we're made alive together with Christ. Paul talks about that in both his letters to the Ephesians and to the Colossians. That's what happens. And I think that's what so many folks miss as far as the gospel is concerned. We just think of it in terms of forgiveness. But he forgave our sins so that he could make us alive. Now, that's why it's important that we really understand what Christ accomplished for us at the cross, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Right. We sometimes think of forgiveness in terms of human perspective. You know, we just choose to turn the other way, to ignore somebody's wrongdoings. We sweep it under the carpet. But that's not how God dealt with sin. He punished it. He shed blood, or Jesus shed his blood. And that was necessary so that we could be forgiven. And there's a great verse in Hebrews chapter 9, and it's one of those verses that, you need to star, you need to underline, you need to memorize, because it's such a foundational verse. And it reads this: without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That is so vitally important for us to understand. We think there's all kinds of ways to earn God's forgiveness. We promise, we pray, we, you know, commit, we surrender, we do all of these things in hopes to get God's forgiveness. But none of those mean anything as far as God's concerned. There was only one thing that meant something to him, and that was the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. We see that in the Old Covenant as well. If somebody committed a sin, they could go to the priest and say, I've done this, and I need forgiveness. I'm just burdened down with guilt and shame and fear, and I'm walking on eggshells just knowing punishment is going to come to me just at any moment. What do I do? And the priest would say, well, I'm glad you've confessed. I'm glad you've recognized your sinfulness. But there's only one way to remove the guilt, and that's through the shed blood. Where's your sacrifice? Go back and bring a lamb. Bring something that can be sacrificed. And in that sacrificing, the giving up of life, the shedding of that blood, forgiveness could come to that person. Well, all of that foreshadowed the work of Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus shed his blood once and for all. And so in this new covenant, we live as forgiven people. The blood has been shed. So when we sin, and we're going to sin, what do we know is true? Well, the blood has been shed.
Yes.
Jesus Christ shed his blood once and for all. He's not going to come back and shed it again.
Nope.
So we can rest in the finished work of Christ. Now, a lot of people think of that in terms of, well, if you just believe that, then you're just going to go out and do all sorts of things. Well, if you think in terms of salvation being only forgiveness, that could be true.
Yeah.
But salvation isn't only forgiveness. He forgave us so that he could come and live inside of us. And God's Spirit is with us, and he is doing a work inside us to transform us into the image of Christ. So when we sin and when we rest in the finished blood of Christ, the Holy Spirit starts to work, showing us why we sinned, the consequences of that in the lives of other people, and then focuses back on the love of Christ so that the love of God can be poured out of our lives into the lives of others.
That's good news, and this is Basic Gospel, where you hear it every day, people, and we'd love to hear from you right now. The toll-free number is 844-32-BASIC, 844-322-2742. Plenty of open lines. Want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, let's go down to Temple, Texas, and talk with Jerry, listening to us on KBBW. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how you doing, guys? God bless you.
Well, thank you.
I have a question, but I just want to make a real quick comment before I ask the question. And I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and he was saying, you know, I have to ask for forgiveness. I just have to. And I said, well, you know, there's transgressions, and there's sins, and there's trespasses. And so if we sin and we don't know we sin sometimes, then how can you keep accounts? And he said, you know, that's a good question. So it made him at least think, and I hope that he comes to the truth. But I just wanted to share that with you.
You know, Jerry, that's an interesting point. I mean, I think most of us feel like when we sin, we need to do something with it.
Yeah.
And so normally we ask God to forgive it. But then we just leave it there. And I think we need to take that a step further. If I ask God to forgive it, what is he going to say back to me? What's his answer to that prayer? And God's answer to that prayer is Jesus. He's going to tell us by the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ has already shed his blood for us once and for all. That sin has already been dealt with. Forgiveness is yours. And that's when we can say, thank you. So many folks simply ask God to forgive them because they think that's required. That's part of a formula that they need to work through every time they sin. But very few people ask, well, what is God's answer? And God's answer is always going to be the shed blood of Jesus. It's already been shed. Forgiveness is already is yours. Rejoice. You are a forgiven person.
Amen. Amen. Well, this is the question I had for you. And it's in reference to the Lord's Supper. And I understand the context in which it's done. It's a meal in which we come together, and we should be a meal, which we come together in fellowship, and we recognize the body. The question I have is in verse 29 and 30, it says, if you eat and drink without recognizing the body, you eat and drink judgment. That man eats and drinks judgment on himself. And for that reason, many are weak and sick, and some have fallen asleep. Well, in the context that I'm looking at that, and this is where I'm hoping to get your input, I'm thinking, well, if it's a meal, many get weak and they fall asleep, on you know, like you would fall asleep after a Thanksgiving meal. You get stuffed. And you get sick sometimes. But I know many theologians and many Christians believe that this is actually means death. The problem, or not the problem, but the concern I have with that is if it means death, then I would believe that many Christians all over the world would be dying every Sunday, because I know that there are Christians that are partaking in the communion without fully understanding what it means to recognize the body. And so that's my question. Many are weak and sick and fall asleep. What does that mean to you?
Well, it's a good question. I think the phrase there, fallen asleep, is really a euphemism for death. That's how it's used in other places in the New Testament. So I think most people think of that in terms of death. But what was happening in the church at Corinth was really evil. I mean, this isn't just, you know, somebody drinking a little bit too much. Their whole attitude toward the Lord's Supper was erroneous. I mean, they were way off base. And so the haves, you know, the rich in Corinth, they were making fun of the poor. There was a lot of division. There was a lot of revelry. I mean, this wasn't just, you know, somebody got a little drunk and passed out. This was just, you know, to the max. I mean, it was partying and all that on steroids, basically. And what they were doing was bringing over pagan practices. So in so doing, they weren't recognizing the real meaning of the Lord's Supper. So they were really spitting in the face of Christ. They were saying things about Christ in their practice that just wasn't true. And so there was a result from that, a consequence from it. And when you kind of read about Corinth and you read all the things that were going on, and you come to a passage like this, you wonder if any of them even knew the Lord. And that's what Paul was getting at in his second letter. If you go to the end of the second letter of 2 Corinthians, it says, do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? And he had said, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. And I think that's kind of an overall theme. You know, Paul is admonishing them, and I think he's bringing them to the point every time of saying, are you even a believer? I mean, look at what you're doing. Look at how you're taking such a sacred and holy sacrament, and you're perverting it in such an incredible way. I mean, do you even know what Jesus has accomplished for you? Do you even know what his blood means, what his resurrection means? And obviously they didn't. So they were taking this in an unworthy manner, saying something about the body and blood of Jesus Christ that wasn't true.
Okay. Well, that really opens it up for me. I just appreciate you guys, and we'll continue to pray for you and support you, and you are a blessing. And I just pray you continue to reach many as you are. So thank you.
Well, Jerry, thank you so much. Yes. We sure appreciate that.
Indeed.
God bless you, my friend. You call anytime.
844-32-BASIC. We have plenty of open lines. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. 844-32-BASIC.
Well, let's go out to Idaho, and we're going to talk. I hit the wrong button.
Please call back.
Yes,
that was our fault.
Yeah, please call back. I did hit the wrong button there. But she had an interesting question about Old Testament sacrifices and how that plays out in the book of Revelation. And we have to come back and realize that the sacrificial system was done away with.
Yes.
You know, when Jesus died, it put an end to that whole sacrificial system. It put an end to the law. Why? Because he fulfilled the law.
Yes.
That's the great passage in Matthew where Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. Well, he fulfilled it.
Yes.
Sometimes we think that fulfillment is going to be in the future, that Jesus is going to come back and fulfill it then, or that it's being fulfilled now. But his death on the cross fulfilled it once and for all.
Yes.
All the punishment for sin, the wages of sin, Jesus paid. And he brought it to an end, and he ushered in a new covenant. And that's what's important today, is that new covenant. It's better than the old. It was mediated by someone far superior, Jesus Christ himself. He is our high priest. The sacrifice that he made was far superior to the sacrifices of the old. We need to recognize we're in the new covenant.
Absolutely.
Well, I think Lavana is back on the line. Lavana, sorry about that. Thank you for calling back.
I was... You were speaking about the Old Testament, and there were sacrifices for their sins, but there were some sins in the Old Testament that there was not a sacrifice for, that they were put to death.
That's correct.
If they murdered or lied or immoral persons, adultery, and those sins. And then in Revelation 21:8, it says, but for they were talking about the ones that are in the kingdom, it says, but for the cowardly and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, they are not going to be in the kingdom, as I understand it, and God has not forgiven them their sins.
And well, they just...
go on over.
They remain dead, Lavana. That's the issue. When Adam and Eve sinned, death entered the picture, and that death was passed on to every person. So we come into this world dead spiritually. That's our problem. That's our condition. Mm-hmm. Well, that spiritual death manifests itself in all different ways. And that list in Revelation is the manifestation of spiritual death. And part of that spiritual death, for those at this stage of the game, is spelled out in rebellion. There is just an absolute rebellion toward God. They have heard the offer of life that has been given in Christ Jesus. They've rejected that offer. They've rebelled against that offer. They have bowed up and said, we're going to do it our way. And so they simply remain dead. The, you know, death is taken to its ultimate conclusion, and it spells itself out in this second death.
Yes.
So they will not be in the kingdom.
No.
And then again in Revelation 22:15, it lists them again and says that they will not.
Correct.
They will be on the outside. They will not be in the kingdom.
They're basically the enemies of God.
Yes. Now, this is serious stuff.
Yes. And then in the Old Testament, again, God did not want the people that were committing these sins that lead to death. He did not want them to be among his people. And that was, they were put to death. And in the New Testament, the same sins in, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, says that those people are to be put out of the church. They're not to be among God's people because they attempt God's people to follow them rather than God.
That's exactly right. We have been called to a new life in Christ. There's lots of folks that want to try to bring the old life into this new. Those don't mix. You can't mix. You can't pour new wine into old wineskins. And so when those activities, and it's not so much the activities, you know, in 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians, when Paul told the church there to excommunicate or to discipline the guy that was having sex with his father's wife, it wasn't so much for the action. It was because his attitude about that action was starting to influence the body at large. So a cancer, a spiritual cancer, was growing there. And so for the sake of the body, and hopefully for the sake of that individual, Paul said, send him out. Now his hope, his prayer, was that this guy would repent, would see the real issues going on. And later in 2 Corinthians, Paul said, bring him back. He's experienced enough. Obviously, the Lord had gotten to him, and I think he probably came to faith in Jesus.
Yes.
I think he was made alive, and so he was reunited with the body of Christ. So why Paul did that, it was motivated by love, that was to protect the body and then hopefully bring that guy to a place of repentance and restoration and new life in Jesus. And I think that's how we handle that.
Well, and I think the same thing was going on when they were ready to go into the promised land. God told them to kill or push out the Canaanites, the people that were in the Holy Land. Otherwise, the Canaanites would teach the Israelite children to follow their God.
That is,
it was tempting.
That is correct. And some of those passages are tough to read and tough to understand. But I think when we realize that it's all about Jesus, that the Jewish people, that there was that bloodline, and God was protecting that bloodline. Why? Because through Jesus, the world was going to be blessed. Well, Lavanna, we sure appreciate your...
But we'll protect our children today, too, against those false teachings.
Yes. Yes, we do. Truth. Truth is what will protect us. Well, Lavonna, right, good questions. You. We sure appreciate hearing from you.
Yes, we do. Just a moment, going to go talk to Jermaine listening in the Bronx. But, friends, if Basic Gospel has made a difference in your life, you'd probably be justified in offering up a prayer of thanksgiving to God for moving in the hearts and lives of people who have given so that you can hear this message of God's love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's true. Someone else gave to support Basic Gospel so you could hear. And now that you've heard, we ask you to please prayerfully consider what our Lord would have you do to support this message so that others can hear. Join us today if you can. You'll find a support link in the menu at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC during Central Time office hours. And as I've always said, may God richly bless and multiply your gift to Basic Gospel.
Indeed, and we have some exciting plans for this year. I have a new book coming out in July, the 1st of July, entitled Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, you know, how the Christian life is supposed to work. Really excited about that. We're in process of building a mobile app that we can make available to people. I was working with Greg today on that, and he is very close to getting that complete. We have the Hear, Believe, and Live tour that's happening. Our first stop is in Vacaville, California on March 7th. All the information about that conference is on our website. We have other resources that we're producing. Last year, we introduced a Bible study guide, The New Covenant Journey. It was the first in our basic gospel Bible study series. This year, we're going to put one out on the book of Galatians. Richard, you have a book that you're working on about faith.
Yeah.
I put out a book a couple of years ago entitled Love Is. This is going to be Faith Is, and then probably next year we'll have Hope Is. So we'll have Faith, Hope, and Love, the trilogy there. But all of these resources are there to help you grow in your relationship with Christ, to really engage in this process of hearing, believing, and living the good news of Jesus Christ, which in turn enables your life to become a good news story. Mm-hmm. We need good news in this world. Yes. Jesus Christ is that good news, but he manifests himself through us. And as he does, our lives become a good news story.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the most encouraging things that we can realize in life, is that God uses us. Jesus uses us.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to, but he chooses to. And to be able to go to bed at night and say, God, the Lord used me. What a wonderful privilege. And talk about purpose and meaning.
Absolutely.
That's it. But that's what Basic Gospel is all about. And so when we ask you to support, that's what we're asking you to support. Yeah. And like I said, we have so many wonderful things going on in 2015, and we want you to be a part of it.
Absolutely. We better quickly go to the Bronx.
Yeah, let's do. Jermaine, you're on the air. How can we help you today?
Well, recently I read a book called Catholicism by Robert Barron. And in the book, he explained the precepts of being a Catholic and the precepts of the Catholic Church. I've been a Protestant my entire life, and I basically wanted to know what is not only the differences between being a Catholic and a Protestant, but what makes being a Protestant preferred over being a Catholic, like, for instance.
Well, let me just jump in for time's sake, Jermaine. As far as God is concerned, and as far as eternity is concerned, there's not going to be Catholics or Protestants in heaven. They're simply going to be children of God, those who have come to Jesus Christ by faith, have been born again of the Spirit into the kingdom of God. How are we born again? Well, it's through this gospel message, through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what matters. That's what's of first importance. Has a person responded to the good news of Jesus? If they have responded to the good news of Jesus, they have been born again into the kingdom. They are now children of God. and they have the assurance and confidence that when they die, they're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Now, in the meantime, we have labels we put on, but those labels don't really mean much as far as God's concerned. We're children of God. Well, yeah, Jermaine, thanks for calling.
Yeah, we're out of time. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.